Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Lamed. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the fifth line. As we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva taught us his opinion that a sheni can make a shlishi latuma even by chulin. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav, Vamarli Amar Rabba Ba'isi Amar Rav, Ramei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yeshuva Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Eliezer, Kula Sfirlu, they are all of the opinion that ain'tshli sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin, that is actually not dalocha. Says the Gemara, now the Gemara is going to explain how we know each one of these tanoim that was just cited doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Rameya holds that way, the Tana, the Mishnah Masechta Parah teaches us, kol hatam bias mayim v'divrei sofrim. Any situation that midaraisa, there is no tumah, but there is a tumah midrabanan. For example, the Mishnah Masechta Zovim, Berak Hei Mishnah Yibes, speaks about a number of situations where a person who midaraisa is not tumah, but Chazal required that he should go to a mikvah. Number of examples which are actually also taught to us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed, Daf Yodalid, a person who eats a chatzi pras of a food that's a rishon or a shein l'tuma, somebody who drinks mashkin daratamei, somebody who most of his body was immersed in mayim shuvim, somebody who on his head fell shloy shalugim mayim shuvim, and of course, the most common case that we're all aware of is a person who has to wash his hands before he eats. The halacha is that any of these individuals, metames hakodesh, they will make kodesh into a shlishi. And as we learned so extensively in our previous year, when you have a sheni l'kodesh, the sheni l'kodesh makes a shlishi, and a shlishi by kodesh has the ability to even make a revi. V'poisla satruma, it makes a shlishi. A shlishi is the end of the line of a by truma. And as we also discussed in our previous year, wherever we come to the end of the line by a tuma chain, the last in the line that doesn't have the ability to spread, transmit tuma further is called posel natame. Mutter b'chulin, he's not considered tamei as far as chulin, even though there are individuals who are careful to only eat chulin b'tahara. This individual could eat chulin, could eat chulin, and it will not be considered in any way a problem. Or meiser, and the same thing as far as eating meiser sheni, even though the halach is that ma'aser sheni that becomes tamei may not be eaten, but here ma'aser sheni is treated like chulin, and ma'aser sheni doesn't become a shlishi. Ma'aser sheni can only become the furthest tuma that could happen by ma'aser sheni is a sheni l'tuma, and therefore, since the furthest tuma it can be have is a sheni l'tuma, if it comes in contact, if ma'aser sheni comes in contact with a sheni l'tuma, it will not become tameh. It doesn't have the ability to take the tumah further. Divrei Rameya. That's all the opinion of Rameya. The Chum, the Ma'aser Sheni. That Chum say no, the Ma'aser Sheni can become a shlishi. But that's the only area of disagreement between Rameya and the Chachamim. But as far as making a sheni into shlishi, so even though it seems, that's what the Rishonim explain to the Gemara, even though it seems that the Chachamim agree with Rameyer that by Chulin there is no Shlishi, still, since the Rabbanan did not say that explicitly, Rameyer clearly says that it doesn't, and since Rameyer says it doesn't, we see here that Sheni doesn't make a Shlishi by Chulin. There's another pshat that I saw that when we began the Shia today, that Reb Meir is identified as one of the opinions that doesn't hold that a sheni makes a shlishi bechulin, it didn't mean specifically only Reb Meir. It meant the Rabbanon as well. It meant what he meant to say was Reb Meir and the Rabbanon, who disagree with Reb Meir, all clearly hold that bechulin there is no sheni making a shlishi. Clearly different, contrary to what Reb Kiva said in our Mishnah. Reb Yossi, where do we see Reb Yossi holds that a sheni doesn't make a shlishi b'chulin? Says the Gemara, that's something that we learned in the Brisa in the previous year. Because Reb Yossi learned that there's a revi b'kodesh from, he learned it, as we discussed, from a tefil yot, from a mechusa kapurim. Dim isi, and says the Gemara, that if a sheni makes a shlishi b'chulin, l'aisi, he could have learned that a revi by truma, because as we discussed in our previous year, truma is more serious in the way it's treated as far as hechus tumah and tahara than chulin, and kodesh is more serious in the way it's treated than truma. So if chulin goes up to the degree of a sheni, that means, as according to the way Rabbi Yossi explained the Gemara in the previous year, then if chulin could go up to a sheni, then the shlishi, then truma should be able to go up to a shlishi and to a revi, and kodesh should be able to go up to a chamishi. The fact that Reb Yossi said that chulin only goes up to the degree of a shlishi and kodesh only goes up to a degree of a revi, it's obvious that he holds the chulin doesn't go past a sheni. Because yesterday's shir, Reb Yossi kept on repeating that each one of these types of foods, given that they're holier than the one before it, should take a step further. Reb Shua, how do we find that Reb Shua holds that a sheni doesn't make a shlishi b'chulin? Because midaraisa, a person can only be mekabel tumah directly from a mace or a sheretz. If a person touched food that are not an ava tuma, the person with the rice is not tame, because anything that is a degree of tuma, of a rishon tuma and further, doesn't have the ability to be metama oichlan and mashkin. But as we said at the beginning of our shiur today, Beishamai taught us that somebody who eats a chatzi pras of a food that's tamei, he becomes tamei. And as we also said, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos expounds on these halachas. And the reason the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that Beis Shammai instituted this tumah, because Beis Shammai was concerned that one should not put into his mouth any liquid, any beverage that's truma, while he's eating tamei digger food, and that food will make the truma puzzle. And therefore, Beis Shammai, the Mishnah Masechta Zavim, says that anybody who eats a food that's tamei, he poisels a truma. In other words, that he shouldn't come to eat at the same time macholim tameim and macholim tameirim. Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua discusses what is the status of the person who's eating this food that's tamei. And of course, the Rishonim point out that this entire consideration that Reb Yeshua is now introducing really only applies by Kahanim. The rest of us cannot eat Truma. But once Chazal made this rule, Chazal, says the Rosh Yosef, did not differentiate. And they said that anybody who eats Tameh Digger food, because of the concern that we just learned, that you may have a problem then with Truma, therefore you have to be very careful. David made the rule for everyone. Why were they so concerned? Because it says Rashi, the Torah, when it speaks about Truma, says, Es Mishmeres Trumasi, teaching us that we have an obligation to make sure the Truma stays Tahor. And if we're going to have Truma, if we're going to bring the Truma to a situation that it can become Tamei, we are violating as Mishmeres Trumasi. The Meiri has a different approach. The Meiri's approach is that the Torah, that we have an Isser, An individual has an issa to eat truma tameya. And if I have in my mouth a situation where the food is tamei and tar in my mouth at the same time, and I'm making that food, and I'm making the food the truma tamei, so I'm doing an aveira, because a kohen, of course, has a very serious aveira eating truma tameya. And the Gemara quotes this Mishnah. The Tanan, the Mishnah, teaches us, Rabbi Lezer, Oymer, Oichel, somebody eats food that's chulin, that became tummy from Ava Tuma, Rishon. He becomes a Rishon L'Tuma. The food is a Rishon, and he becomes a Rishon. If he eats food which is a Sheni, he becomes a Sheni. If he eats food which is a Shlishi, he becomes a Shlishi. He becomes the same status of what he ate. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Rishu Aymer, Kol Oichel Rishon, whether you ate an Oichel that's a Rishon, or whether you ate an Oichel that's a Sheni, you become a Sheni Latama. Because the reasoning to understand the simple way of understanding Rabbi Shua's opinion is because whenever we speak about Tuma, when something which is Tuma touches something else, what receives the Tuma always goes down a degree. If a Rishon touches something, it becomes a Sheni. If a Sheni touches something, it becomes a Shlishi. So Yeshua has a hard time accepting what Rabbi Lezer says, that when it comes to eating, whatever you eat, you become that degree. And therefore, Yeshua agrees that an Oichel Rishon becomes a Sheni. If somebody eats a Shlishi, if somebody eats a Sheni, he too becomes a Sheni. And of course, Rabbi Shua must explain that this is a special gezeira, because that the halacha is that a oichel sheni becomes a sheni latuma, and sheni vein sheni betruma. But if something is a sheni, doesn't make truma go further. B'chulin shenas ataras truma chulin, even if the chulin is being treated in a very strict fashion, that we're dealing with a person that treats his chulin as if it was truma, the halach is, and the reason somebody would do this is because people want to be careful in tum and tahara, and therefore even the chulin that they eat, they treat with a certain level of severity. Chazal said, chulin can never become a shlishi. Very much what we started this year by saying Rabbi Shua is one of those opinions that says that sheni never makes a shlishi be chulin. Now the Gemara expands on this explanation. He said, "B'chulin shenas ataras truma. Ataras truma in, they could become a shlishi. Ataras kodesh loy, but other situations not. Alma kutsover ain't sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin." Says the Gemara Rabbi Lezer, where do we find Rabbi Lezer holds that a sheni cannot make a shlishi? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Taharis Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, teaches us a Rishon of Kodesh could cause that there should be a Revi B'Kodesh. But those that only became Tamei because they came in contact to Rishon would not be able to bring things to the degree of Revi B'Kodesh. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Shloshed and Shoven. Rabbi Lezer says, Chulin, Truma, and Kachim are all treated halachically the same way. Chulin, Truma, and Kachim are all the same. Chrishim v'kodesh, shemachun shematruma, v'tama shnayim, they can make 2 degrees of tuma further, that something that touches that will become a sheni, and whatever touches the sheni will become a shlishi. And the reason that is the case is because these are considered tamei, because as we keep on defining the word tamei, the definition of the word tamei is something that has the capability of transferring tuma further, or paisel echad. And they also can make a revi, but a revi is only paisel. Paisel meaning it can't spread tuma further. This is the last stop. Furthermore, but paisel echad b'kodesh, you can make a revi b'kodesh. Furthermore, metama echad, they can make tuma 1 degree. That means a Rishon can make a Sheni, Upoisel echad betruma. And by truma you can make a shlishi. Poisel echad bechulin. But what is most relevant to our shir is that by chulin, the last stop is a sheni, not a shlishi. So again, we clearly see that Rabbi Lazar holds that a sheni cannot make a shlishi. Rabbi Lazar, where do we find that Rabbi Lazar holds that a sheni can make a shlishi bechulin? The Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Chala teaches us the halacha of hafrashas chala. We know the halacha is that if you have a dough of the proper size, you have to take off chala, 1/24 of the dough, and give it to the kohen. As the Torah Kedosha says, V'hoyah ba'ochlechem b'lechem ha'aretz, terimu teruma l'Hashem, reishas arisusechem chala, terimu teruma. Midaraisa, there is no shear for chala. Taking off even the most minimal amount and designating it as chala is halachically satisfactory. Chazal made up that the shear is 1/24. Why? Because the pasuk just said that chala is called truma, as the pasuk says, titnu l'ashem truma, and we have to give therefore something which is considered significant, something which is considered a matana. And Chazal made up that a baker who's baking in the house, baking in his bakery, is constantly has much dough, has to give a 1/24. Moreover, Bizman Hazeh, where the challah that we separate from any dough that we make is tamei, because we are all tamei, the minig is that to take off even the smallest amount, the minig is to take off, some say even a kolshu, even a very insignificant amount. Others say to take off a kezayis and just burn it. So again, the Tanan, when we speak about chala, the halacha is that we're supposed to give a 24 to the chala. But as we also just said, if the isa, if the dough is tamei, so the kohen will not be able to eat that chala, we give the smaller amount. In the time of Chazal, where we were giving a 24th from an isa that was tahor, from an isa that's tamei, we took off a 48th. However, this din, that if the dough is tamei, we give a much smaller shear of challah, is only applicable if the dough became tamei b'shagigah ba'aynas. But if the dough became tamei b'mezid, then the halach is that you have to give the same 1/24th. And the reason being, we don't want that the person who deliberately made the dough tamei should now profit that he has to give much less challah. Rav Elazar Omer, challah nitlus min ha'tayra al tamei. Rav Elazar says that if you have a dough that became tamei, and again, Rav Elazar is talking about a case where the dough became tamei, you deliberately made it tamei, what you should do is you should make another dough, and you'll take from the dough that's tahor for the dough that's tamei. But that creates a problem, because the halach is that truma, chala, and truma actually, because chala is truma, the halach is that we have to take off min hamukaf. That means that the truma, that the chala that we're taking off from the dough, that dough has to be right here that I'm taking from. If I have two doughs, and I'm taking challah from one dough on behalf of the other dough, the halacha is we have to have those two doughs next to each other. By having them next to each other, that's how we have min hamukaf. So now, Rabbi Elazar just told us that if we have a challah which is tamei, which we deliberately made tamei, and Chazal, as we just said, don't want you to profit from that, Chazal say take from the tahor on the tamei. But ketzad, how could that be done? Ketzad, shtei esos, I have in front of me two doughs, achas tahor v'achas tamei, one is tahor and one is tamei. Noit k'dei chala, I take off the 24th, mi'isa shaloi hor mechalosoi, from a dough from which the chala has not been removed. Because this is another halacha that Rashi teaches us, that just like you can't take off chala from a dough which is not chayiv and challah on behalf of a dough which is chayiv and challah. You similarly cannot take off challah from a dough that already had challah removed from a dough that did not have challah removed. Noit kedei challah me'isa shleihur mechulasai, and you put that piece of challah into that basket. You have all of that in the basket. The noisin, but how do I create that there shouldn't be a problem that they're all next to each other? The noisin parch from the kebeya the emtsa. I put less than a kebeya of dough between the isa that's tamei and the piece that I want to take as challah. The elitol menamukov, that I should solve the problem of menamukov, and the reason I have to make sure that the isa doesn't become in contact with that other dough, because the challah, as we keep on repeating in our shir, could come to the degree of being a shlishi. So we have to prevent it from being together with a sheni, with a sheni can make a shlishi. The chachamim oisrim. The chachamim disagree, which we'll see soon what that means. The tanya, and we learned in the brisa that Rebbe Lezer says that you have to take that piece of dough which you want to designate as challah by putting it next to it. It could be a kebeya. But now the question is, throughout Shas, we learned the halacha that only a food which is the size of a kebeya can become tamei. So now, once I have a piece of... So what we learned before in the bottom of Amun Aleph, that he says you take pachs from a kebeya, is understandable. Because if you have a dough which is less than a kebeya, it's not going to become tamei. So I'm not going to have a problem that the challah that comes in contact with it becomes tamei. But if I'm going to have a piece of dough which is designated as the challah, the size of a kebeya, the halacha, why don't we have to worry that it's going to spread tumah? The savrua, and says the Gemara, the Bnei Yeshiva, when they were learning this Mishnah and Bryce explained, didi, that the dough we're talking about is the Isa, that the Isa came in contact with an Ava Tumah, and because that dough that became Tamei came in contact with an Ava Tumah, it is a Rishon Tumah. V'chulin l'tfulin l'chala. And since we did not take off the chala from it, the halach is like chala dama, is not considered as chala. So even though by truma we have the concept that we keep on repeating in our shiurim, that a sheni can make a shlishi, by chulin, not necessarily that is the halacha. So the question is, my lav kama kufki, what is the machloikas here? The mass of Rebbe Lezer's opinion ain't sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin. So even though the piece of dough that's here is a sheni l'tuma, and even if though it's the shear of a kebeya, it doesn't make anything else tamei. And therefore, it's sheni doesn't make a shlishi. Or masover, and the chum hold that no, the sheni makes a shlishi b'chulin, and therefore we have to be careful to have less than a kebeya. Says the Gemara, Amar Amori b'Reidav Kahana, no, it could be that everybody agrees they ain't sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin. V'ocha, chulin atfulin chala. We're talking about a isa that's chayiv and chala, but we did not take the chala from it yet. Kamifli. Masavik chala dovami. It's already considered like chala. It's already considered like truma. And since it's considered like truma, we have a problem that it can become a shlishi. Or masavik love chala dovami. Till we actually take off the challah, doesn't have that halacha. V'bayisem, another way of explaining that machlokes is the chulam. Everybody's going to agree the chulin hatfun challah lav kachala damin. Ain sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin. The question is, could a sheni make a shlishi? V'ocha, and the question over here is b'mutar ligrom tumah l'chulin shebet yisrael kamifgi. The halacha is, can we make tumah? Can we create tumah? Maas of Rebbe Lezer of the opinion, we have to be concerned. Because in order to be able to take off the challah, even the price we're paying is that we're making food tamei, mutar ligrom tumah l'chulin on Shabbat Yisrael. Maas of her, and the Rabbanan hold, asur ligrom tumah l'chulin on Shabbat Yisrael. So from here we see that sheni doesn't make a shlishi b'chulin. But the only concern is by challah. But everybody's going to agree that Sheni doesn't make a Shlishi Bechala. From here we see, the Rashi discusses, we've been discussing the piece that's going to be designated as Chala in the same basket, touching. From here we see, many Rishonim suggest, that Menamukuf is not enough that they should be near each other. What Menamukuf means is that they'll be actually touching. We learned in the Mishnah, the Bai B'Yoyim, another example of what Rabbi Kiva taught us that day, Bai B'Yoyim Darish Rabbi Kiva, that the Pasuk says, U'madoysim chutz l'ir as pas kedma alpayim ama, that the tchum of a city is alpayim ama, and a person may not exit the city more than alpayim ama on Shabbos. But we learned that Beleza B'Noish Rabbi Yosef Lili says that the Pasuk is teaching us something else. The Pasuk is teaching us that around the Ori Levium, you have to leave 2,000 amma around the city for their fields and their orchards. Says the Rabbi Michael Mifki. What is the basis of the Machlokes of Rekiva and Rabbi Lezer ben Oshab Yosef Lili? Says the Marmasover, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Tchumen is a Daraisa. And that's why we learn from the Pasuk of Alpayim amma, the Din Daraisa of Tchumen. Well, Masover, whereas Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Yosef holds that the din of Tchumen is a din derabbanon, and since it's a din derabbanon, the pasuk is obviously not coming to teach us that. The pasuk is coming to teach us the din that around the cities of the Levium we have to leave this area. The Gemara, the Rosh paskins like Rabbi Lezer, that the is of Tchum is midrabbanon. The Rif and the Rambam, however, say that the Yerushalmi teaches us that even though this halacha that Rabbi Kiva taught us in our shiur today, that the tchum of an ear is alpayim amma, but there's also another halacha, and that's the halacha of walking beyond 12 mil, 24,000 amma. It says the Yerushalmi that even though Rabbi Lezer, and I just said, the Rosh says we paskin that way, says that the din of Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 amma is only a din derabbanan. The amount of 12 mil, which was the amount of area that the Machne Yisrael took up in the Midbar, walking past that is an Issa deraisa. The Tosfos, the very Maskil Mar Sover, says that the Gemara Masechet Erevin, that Yud Zayin Amabeis, teaches us another source for Hilchas Tchum on Shabbos. The Pasuk says, Ayetze Ish Mimekoimai. So Tosfos asks, why do we have two Psukim? We have this Pasuk that we just learned, Umadoysim Echutz L'ir Alpayim Amma, and then we have the other Pasuk of Ayetze Ish Mimekoimai. Why do we have to have two Psukim to teach us the Halacha of Erevin? So the Rishash explains that the two Psukim are both necessary. If the Pasuk would have only said a Medoysim, then that Pasuk is a Mitzvah Saseh. And then there would be no Chiv Malkus, because one doesn't get Malkus for violating a Mitzvah Saseh. Only for violating a Mitzvah Lois Saseh is their Lav, is their Malkus. So therefore, the Torah had to say Al Yetzi Ishmim Kaimai, which is a Lav. But that Pasuk is inadequate, because that Pasuk doesn't tell us, that Pasuk would have taught us, teaches us that there's a din of tchum, but the pasuk does not tell us what is the shear of the tchum. That's why we needed two psukim. The Netziv has a different way of explaining, answering Tyson's question, that the pasuk of Madoisim comes to teach us that it applies, that the din of tchum applies even on Yontif. Because if we only had the pasuk of Ayetze Ish M'Kaimai, we have to read the whole pasuk. And the pasuk says, Al Yetze Ish M'Kaimai B'Yoyim HaShvi. So that Pasuk is only talking about Shabbos. We need a Pasuk to teach us that the Pasuk that we're learning in our Shir is coming to teach us that this Halacha also applies on Yontif. We learned in the Mishnah further, the Rebbe Kiva and the Nechemya disagreed how Klal Yisrael said the Shir Sayam. Says the Gemara, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Gemara begins with a Braisa that gives three different opinions how the Hallel was recited. It says, when Klai Yisrael exited Yam Suf, Nosnu Aneim Loim Shira. They wanted to say Shira. And I saw what's the Lashon Nosnu Aneim Loim Shira. So the Sefer Micha Saita says, as Klai Yisrael exited the Yam, they had this tremendous desire. They had this tremendous desire to say Shira. And what the Gemara is saying is that if somebody has a desire to do a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the siyata, the shmaya, to do what he wants if it's the right thing. And that's why they were able to say the Shira. The Sefer Ben Yoyada gives a different explanation. Because there's a famous Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah says that as the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf was taking place, Bikshu Malach Asheris Lem Shira. The Malachim wanted to say Shira. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Masa Yadai Toivim B'yam. Human beings are drowning. Vatem Oim Shira. So the question is that we see clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Shira to be recited. So why did they say Shira? So he explains that you can't compare Klai Yisrael to the Malachim. The Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf happened because, as the Pasuk says before the Shira, V'yaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdai, they had a Muna. Somebody who has a Muna is on such a Madrega that he could say Shira on the Nes no matter what is the situation. And that's what, now how do we know that the Nes happened, continues the Ben Yoyada, in that Tzchus. So we know that the halacha is that if somebody has a that the rule is that if somebody has a Nes happen to them in their own Tzchus, they're able to see the Nes. If somebody has a Nes, but it's not because of their own Tzchus, they're not able to see the Nes. So says the Gemara that what happened here was that Nosnu Aneihem, because they were able to see the Nes, it's a proof that the Nes happened in their own Tzchus. What was their own Tzchus? Because they had a Muna. And since they had a Muna and in their own Tzchus, they were Zoicha to this Nes, that's why they were able to say Shira. How did they say the Shira? Says the Gemara, like a Godel who says the Halal, and the people in the Shul will explain this in a moment, a Yoitzah with the Baal Tefillah, with the Chazan saying the Halal. V'hein Oimrim Achra Rosh Prokem, that on every Pasuk, they just said Halleluka, and they didn't say any more. Moshe Omar, and the Gemara explains, Moshe Omar Ashir Hashem, V'hein Oimrim Ashir Hashem, Moshe Omar Kigo Go, V'hein Oimrim Ashir Hashem. When a cotton is the Baal Tefillah, so if the cotton is saying the halal, the halach is, since he's only a cotton, they have to repeat everything he said. And that's why Moshe Amar Shir Hashem, V'Emar Mashir Hashem, Moshe Amar Kigo Go, V'Hein Oimrim Kigo Go. So in other words, according to Rabbi Kiva, they just kept on saying Ashir Hashem, just like in those times when Halal was recited by a Godel being the Baal Tefillah, they each repeated Halleluka. Here they said Ashir Hashem, and according to Rabbi Lezer, they repeated word after word after Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mashah says, yes, the Halach, the Mashah asks, yes, the Halach is that when a cotton says is the Baal Tefillah, since the cotton is a Baal Tefillah, he can't be Moitzah the Tzibur, and therefore they have to repeat word for word after him. But here the Baal Tefillah was Moshe Rabbeinu. So why did they have to act in a way as if the Baal Tefillah was a cotton? So Mashah says, because they wanted to create a Pesum in Nisa, so they didn't want to just rely on Moshe Rabbeinu, they wanted to say the Halal by themselves. Another pshat that they wanted to say the Halal by themselves, even though they technically could have been Yotze from Moshe Rabbeinu. Din Yaakov says there was actually a halachic dispute. And the halachic dispute is there's a concept throughout Shas of Shemei Koina. If I hear something, can I be Yotze just by hearing it? And Rebbe Lezer holds that we don't say Shemei Koina by Halal. Nechem Yomer, Kesoifa Aparis L'Shema. Sometimes the halachic Gemara Masechta Brachos discusses that if 10 people got together and they have not yet heard Kaddish or Baruch Hu, so the halacha is, we do Pyrus al-Shema. They only say some of the brachas before Krishma. And that's what happened here. To Psoifa Pyrus al-Shema, Beisa Knesset, Shupoiseich Tchila, he just says some of it, Vein Oim Achrav, and they just say the rest. So here too, Moshe Rabbeinu began the Shira, and what happened here was a tremendous nes. They all were able to, with the Ruach HaKodesh that was taking place there, say the rest of the Shira. Says the Marmai Kamefki, what is the Machloikis? Rabbi Kiva Omer, the Pasuk says at the beginning of the Shira, Lamer. Oz, what do we learn from that word, Lamer? A Milsa Kamaisa, that they always go back, they always saying a Shira LaShem back to what they heard. Rabbi Lezer ben Oshab Yosef, Glili Sover, Lamer, a Kamilsa Milsa. The way to define the word Lamer is that everything that they heard, they repeated. And again, why did they repeat it? Two reasons, either because of Persinimei Nisa, or because not they didn't want to rely on Shemei Kaina. And with Chem Yisava, V'yoymru, the Pasuk says V'yoymru, Damra Kula HaDadi, they all said the Shira together, Lema. But what does Lema say? The Pasuk Moshe Bereisha. What happened was Moshe began, and after Moshe began the Shira, everybody finished together. Tana Rabbana Darsh Rabbi Yosef Galili. B'shosh al Yisrael min Hayam, Nosna Enayim Lema Shira. Again, what we learned earlier, they wanted to say Shira. The Ketzed Omru Shira, and says the Gemara, how did they say the Shira? Even the Oilul, that a young child, but he's old enough that he's not nursing anymore. Umutal Abirki Imai, he's sitting on his mother's lap. The tinaik and the child that's yoinik mishtei imai that's still nursing, kivin shirasa shchina, as soon as they saw the shchina, oileg v'yitzavaroi, the young child picked up his head, the tinaik shamedad mipiv, the child that was nursing stopped to nurse, v'amru, and they all declared, ze keli v'enveyu, they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, and how were they able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The way they were able to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu goes back to a Gemara that we learned earlier in the Masechet and Daf Yud Aleph, that as the Jewish children were born in Mitzrayim, they were born in the field and they were hidden underground until they were actually born. Who was nourishing them when they were underground? The Kadosh Baruch Hu. So they recognized the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that age. So the Rashba and the Shailas HaTshuvas Rashba, Chelik Dalet, Simen Reish Lamed Dalet, asks a question. We know that Chazal teach us that in Masechta Nedarim, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, that Ein HaShechina Shchayra Ela Chochem Giba V'Asher, somebody of great stature. So how could it be that these children, young children, babies, already could be Nevi'im. So he explains that when the Gemara says that somebody can't be a Navi unless he's of that significant stature, that means to be a Navi on a regular basis. But to have Nevuah on a irregular basis, everybody could have. The other pshat is very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to say Shira. So even though normally these people would of course not be individuals who could say Navu and could say Shira, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that, that's what happened. How do we know that even young children that were still in their mother's womb, even younger, says the Gemara, Amru Shira, said the Shira Shinemar, the Pasuk says, B'mekahelis Baruch Hashem, Hashem Ka Yisrael. Even though they were individuals who were only in the Kol Yisrael, in the Mekor Yisrael, they were still in their mother's womb, they said Shira. But ask the Gemara V'Alei Chazu, the people that were, the children who were in their mother's womb, did not see the Shechina. So how could they say Shira? Omer Rav Tancham, Kerem Keres Naslam Kaskal Yamira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an incredible nace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that the mother's womb became transparent. And since the mother's womb became transparent, that's why they said Shira. So I saw Taisva says that Rameya is not necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Yosef Aglili spoke about children that were born. Rameya says even children that weren't born. Din Yaakov, however, has a very interesting approach. He says that there is actually a machlokes. And the way he explains the Gemara is that Rameya is saying that the children that were born and were very young, that they weren't able to say Shira because they're not old enough to understand. But the children who were there in the mother's womb, just like we know that halacha is, that we know that when a child is in its mother's womb, it learns kol ha'Torah kula. So too, these children, when they were in their mother's womb, they were on a madrega that just like the learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were also able to say Shira. I saw a beautiful pshat. If we think about that night, what pshat that Ubim Shmei Imram Amru Shira? There were so many people that left Mitzrayim that night. And because there were so many people that left Mitzrayim that night, it was inevitable that at least one of them would go into labor. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that nobody had a baby that night. Afilu Ubim Shmei Imram, even the children in their mother's womb, Amru Shira. You know what the Shira they said was? The Shira that they said was that they were able to see, the Shira that they said was that they didn't get born. Even though it was the time for them to have been born, they didn't get born because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that they shouldn't be disturbed with a woman going into labor when they're going through Yam Suf. And that shows that the tremendous love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw this another pshat. What does the Gemara say? That to teach us the greatness of Klal Yisrael, children who are so young, children who are still fetuses in the mother's womb, have such a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew's neshama has such a strong connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afilu Ubrim B'mei Iman already are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're able to say Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the special connection that exists between a Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.